Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Guarino.
And welcome, everybody. And my co-host, Dr. Katie Eastman, is with us, and she's moving again. Katie.
On the move.
Tell us, what are you doing now, honey?
We're moving to a little bit bigger house, another rental down the street. And, you know, you get into this mindset that says, well, down the street will be a lot easier, a lot simpler. Not.
No. We were chatting about this earlier, that move. You and I have both made moves now that are like one house over or one apartment building over. And I remember thinking, well, you know, I won't pack anything because, you know, I'm just moving, you know, next door. What the heck? And how's that working for you with that?
Not.
Did you call in the posse to help?
Oh, yes. Yes. The neighbors took pity on us. They watched us carry stuff over. And finally, one of them said, do you want a truck?
And, it's a wildly funny move, though, because it's not worth bubble wrapping everything for. And, you know, it's like you're almost carrying stuff across somebody else's lawn to move into your new house. And
oh, yeah. The deer have been walking with us. I mean, that's been really a kick. They kind of just trot along beside us, and they think we're going to feed them because we're carrying something, right? So they always think you're going to feed them. And so we just – but we're making it, and I am so excited – because, boy, do I need energy to talk to Sid this morning because she's got such great ideas about energy. And let me tell you, move until 10 o'clock every night, I could use a little extra energy tips. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And not to be a downer, but I am going to mention my dad. My dad is in the ICU again. And that is energy draining. It really is. It's sad and stressful and everything, and you wonder if he's going to be okay. So I am actually, honestly, really honestly a little bit tired today. I'm going to tell you, I was up a little bit yesterday. I was up pretty late last night. So shout out to my dad, James F. Hamilton, in the ICU again. We call him the ICU warrior. And a lot of our book that Katie and I have coming out called Percolate is based on his story. So anyway, hope everything's going okay there. And I'm not going to cry, but I am tired. And on that note, on that really happy note, Sid, welcome to our show.
Thank you, lovely ladies. In 5 seconds, you will be energized. You are so easy to turn that energy around. It's great.
Well, you know, who better than to be with us today for energy than Sid Hoffman? While you're listening to us today, you can visit her website at sidhoffman.com. That's spelled SYDHOFFMAN.com. She's a health and wellness expert, speaker, author, coach. You have motivated and inspired people on 5 continents to create a lifetime of healthy living one step at a time. And before we even get started, you've climbed mountains.
I have. I love to hike. It's one of those things that just really brings me joy, and I really encourage people to find what brings them joy. And yes, I hiked Mount Kilimanjaro at age 50 with a bunch of crazy women, and we had a blast.
Katie, I'm going to let you take that one.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, the one thing I just love about, I'm facing my 52nd birthday in a couple weeks, and every time before I go get close to my birthday, I reflect on the year before and what I've learned, and gosh, it just gets better. And it doesn't necessarily get easier because there are different losses and different challenges and things that happen, but you learn how to cope with them in a different way. And at least that's my experience. So I can absolutely relate to having a bunch of crazy women around me doing crazier things, because one of the things I've learned, I don't know about you, Sid, is that who cares?
I agree. You know? I agree. You just
exactly.
You get so much you get so much more grace as you get older, and you just, you have, you know, your own inner presence and your own thoughts, and you just don't care. It's great.
I was choking. Yeah. I don't know. I said that because instantly I went to our ballet classes, Katie. God. Who cares is right. If Katie and I, and we took adult ballet here in Maine, and we sashayed and leapt across that floor like nobody else.
How awesome.
Yeah, it is part of growing older and becoming more comfortable with yourself is just who cares.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
That's funny. All right, so let's talk about this book. I have this beautiful book in front of me called All Day Energy, 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now. Does that mean for anybody moving or with, you know, with a dad sick in the hospital or, you know, any kind of circumstance? What tell us about your book and what you mean by 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now.
Elizabeth, there are tips in there for you because in order to have more energy, there's really four different aspects. There's the mental aspect, there's the food we put in our body, there's the rest we give ourselves the gift of, and then there's the movement. So with you right now, you really need to take extra special care of yourself in all those four areas, and you will have more energy.
I love that. Yeah, I definitely did my green smoothie today. I am doing my Zumba, my hour of Zumba after this call, and then I'm just going to peacefully be reading and all among four boys who have baseball tonight.
You've carved out a perfect day. You've really carved out a great day. The smoothie is packed with all the nutrients you need. Sometimes I encourage people to have two smoothies a day, one in the morning and then for that 2 p.m. slump. So you're there. You carved out time for exercise. We want to make sure that people exercise at least a minimum of 10 minutes a day. The more, the better. 10 minutes gives you 2 hours of energy. So you can imagine how much energy a 60-minute Zumba class is amazing.
Yeah, it is. But would you just say, you said 10 minutes of exercise gives you 2 hours of energy?
Yes. 10 minutes. 10 minutes of fast dancing, brisk walking, swimming, light jog, a group fitness class, boot camp gives you 2 hours of energy.
Huh. Katie, will you take that for a minute? Because I'm going to tweet that out, actually, Sid, because that's awesome.
Yeah, and I actually, too, I used to, when I was working in the hospital and I was working in some intense situations, we would go outside and get in the bright sunlight and run around the hospital for a little bit just to get energized, and also water. I know when you're grieving, when you're going through a really emotionally stressful time, water is essential, drinking more water.
It sure is.
And
we really
think,
underestimate it.
We do. We do. And I think, too, that it's really important to for everyone, and Sid, you may have some really good tips on this. No matter where you are, you can creatively do these things. Can you speak to that?
Creatively do anything. You could. It's all a matter of planning. I travel a lot. I do workshops around the world. I coach people. I do immersions in people's homes. So I don't know where I'm going to be next. So it takes a lot of planning. I have to plan all the fitness classes that I'm going to do so that I stay well. I have to plan what I'm going to eat, where I'm going to buy my food. But you can do it. It's actually fun. I enjoy the whole process of thinking ahead and booking things ahead and planning ahead. I'm doing things to take care of myself, so it's a pleasure.
Sid, what were you like in your 30s and 40s?
In my 30s and 40s, I was a classroom teacher and an elementary school principal with average energy. And I think one morning I was walking around my elementary school and I just noticed that the kids had so much positive energy. I was out in the playground with them goofing around. And I said, I need more energy. And I started taking care of myself right around the age of 40. So that was about 15 years ago. And I wish I could say I did it sooner, but it's really never too late. I encourage people of all ages to just kick it up a notch. Whatever you're at, just, you know, push it a little bit more.
Hmm.
Yeah, and we have a saying on the wall in our counseling center, and it says it's never too late to start today over.
Mm,
and
I like
so
that.
It's
Love it.
It's never too late. Any time during the day when your energy slumps to take inventory. I mean, I think those are great tips, Sid, to just stop and say, okay, what am I doing with those four things?
Well, you know, especially people seem to creep up into maybe, you know, late 30s and 40s, and it sort of does hit like a ton of bricks that suddenly you can't touch your toes or you're not that athlete that you once were. And it also seems like, and this is a little bit of a generalization here, but it does seem like people strive to be that instant athlete they once were at age 40 suddenly, you know, like... You know, you're saying in your book here, there's a moment where it says it took you about 5 years to comfortably touch your toes again.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that I wasn't competitive with myself. I just took it slow. I practiced yoga just one day a week for a long time. Then I said, you know, I'm going to kick it up a notch. So then I added a second and a third day. And it took literally 5 years to reach down to my toes and not use a block or not use anything assisted. And so what? So it took me a long time. I was in average shape. You know, if you saw me walking down the street, you would have said, oh, you know, that person's fit. But I was a thin person, but I wasn't really fit. I didn't have a lot of energy. I just had a slim physique to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just stuck with it. I learned a lot about myself along the way. I always say, you know, learning to touch my toes was a journey. And I think learning to do anything that has to do with health and wellness is a journey, but it is so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, you know, definitely. I think that I love the story about you touching your toes because there are a lot of people listening right now who are at that point where they're probably thinking, what am I going to do? How do I go about doing this? And you just said something that I know Katie and I talk a lot about, and that's just tiny baby steps and small changes and giving yourself some love and compassion along with all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. If you can't find the love and compassion, you're not going to stay with the program. I mean, it's very nice to say I'm going to start jogging and then you jog for one day. And then maybe you jog for a second day, but by the third day you've already given it up because you're achy, you're feeling kind of maybe dumpy in your exercise clothes. But it's much better to start with 10 minutes of brisk walking and work your way up to 30 minutes and be satisfied and happy with yourself and be listening to the birds sing, maybe getting together with a friend as you're moving, knowing that right after your walk you're going to have a great snack full of nutritious value. And that you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. Do you think that the two single most important things that you can do to boost your energy are to move and to really take a solid look at what you're eating?
I think so, followed by a close third of following your bliss. If you don't do the things that you enjoy the most and you're still exercising, you're still eating right, you're not going to have you're not going to have energy. So I think it's a combat. It's like a wham pack, like an equilateral triangle. All the sides are so equal in length, and they're all equal importance to have that triangle stand up. So choosing the most nutritious, as often as you can, eating live food, moving your body. I love to shoot for 30 minutes or more a day, but you know you have to figure out what works for you, and then following your bliss, doing the things that you're most passionate about.
So in other words, if you've had that green smoothie and you've jogged that 5 miles to that crappy job is going to throw your triangle out of bliss.
It is. It is. I love that. That's perfect. I could not have said that any better.
Okay. Katie, are you there? You're awfully quiet.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm always quiet until I feel like there's a breath. And I just really love that. And yes, and I agree with you, Sid. I think that that's... I see so many people who follow their regiment, but they don't follow their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so out of touch with their passion because they're in their head. And I'm wondering if you have anything to say about that. How do you get people out of their head?
Well, my husband would, if he were answering for me, he would say, do some yoga. I really think that everyone should do some kind of a balance-y kind of an exercise, like a Tai Chi or yoga, or have some quiet time. Some people like to meditate. something where you can get out of your head, something that really quiets your mind, and then you can kind of get out of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Tai Chi. I am a huge fan of Tai Chi. Tai Chi is like one of the reasons why I kind of know of these out of shape athletes is because I'm a former competitive gymnast, and after having four children, I haven't done gymnastics for probably 15 years or so, and I just started probably 6 months ago doing gymnastics again, and just loving Zumba and gymnastics and dancing and everything again, and it's I'm 64 days in a row now of doing what I love to do exercise-wise, and over 150 days now sugar detoxed, and I feel like a new human being. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Tosca Reno, our Eat Clean, she's on the cover of our magazine and is the author of all the Eat Clean books, has been following what I've been doing sugar-wise, and she just retweeted and retweeted my tweet about my blog about my sugar detox and my exercise and stuff. So it's pretty exciting to feel when I, you know, with my dad not in the hospital and stuff, I feel a lot more energized than normal, for sure.
Sure.
Yesterday was a hard day, but I've kind of got my energy back, and it's a different feeling when you get your energy back. I don't know. It's really hard to explain. How do you tell when you're out of energy?
I think when you're out of energy, you don't feel your true self. You feel like every decision you're making takes forever. You're not as sharp. You don't have that zip to your step. I don't know. It's kind of intangible sometimes. Sometimes it shows up with sleeping more or not sleeping enough.
Yeah, and it's sometimes accompanied with bad thoughts and feeling like, oh God, I just, you know, when you're sighing a lot, or when you're feeling like you can't do something, and it kind of snowballs, don't you think?
It does, and being present and just enjoying the present moment is all we have. You know, we spend so much time worrying about things that never come to be, and we waste all that energy doing it. We try to stop ourselves. I love the Mark Twain quote. I'm an old man who has known a great many problems, most of which never happened.
Mm. Yeah, I had a 17-year-old say once that. If you worry about something and it happens, okay, so you've worried about it once and you've suffered once, but if you worry about it once and it doesn't happen, you've worried for nothing. So you're right.
Exactly.
It really is. Worrying is a tough thing. And I think when you're in a situation like Elizabeth's in with her father, that's a different kind of animal.
You're going to be worried no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't stop yourself from experiencing the pain of that by saying, I'm just not going to worry about it, but you can be peaceful.
Yeah.
Right. You can be peaceful with the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I loved what Elizabeth said earlier is, you know, I'm just not as energetic as I usually am because she's using psychic energy to work through her pain.
Sure.
Before we lose this thought, I really want to. You said something that was just so important, and I don't know if you realize you said it or not. So I just want to back up just a tiny baby step and talk about wasted energy, because I know you talked a little. You guys talked a little bit more about it, but can we just zoom in on that? Because that's a huge thing with Best Ever You, and I try and spend a lot of time with people, helping them to realize that time is precious, energy is precious, and you go where you place your energy.
Right.
Yeah, you hit upon something. Your thoughts is what you're going to create. And a lot of times we waste energy, and I don't mean that we should be multitasking. That's not what I'm saying, that we're wasting time. But sometimes we waste energy. We focus on things that We don't need to. And if we would just trust and accept some of the things that are going on around us, sometimes we will find that we have that energy, that extra energy. And there are times, it's a cycle. Sometimes we're down a little bit in our energy. And the whole idea is that you will come right back up. When you're used to having high energy, you'll have those dips for such a short period of time.
Yeah. What do you think, let's talk just a little bit more about energy wasting. If you were going to talk about maybe five things that are energy wasters.
Okay.
It could even be more than that, because I just think so much people spend a lot of time wasting energy. And they may not even realize they do.
Okay, I guess the first one that comes to mind is excuses. If people would lose some of their excuses, they would gain a lot more energy. Excuses like, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too busy, I don't have the money to exercise, you know, those kind of things. So I think lose the excuses. I think another waste of time is we don't travel through life in a light way. We take a lot of baggage with us everywhere we go. Our mind, our purse, our head. And if we kind of could just lighten up a little bit and find the smile and not be so, so full of stuff, we would be more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to say, get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We say that in our book, get out of your own way. Yeah.
Get out of your own way.
Definitely. Yeah. We talk a lot about finding your laughter, finding your light, and lightening up everything.
Yeah, those to me are wasted. Most people are pretty good at not wasting their energy. They find a way to use that energy in a good way. But when we overeat, that's a waste of our energy. When we don't take care of ourselves, that's a waste of a good self-care moment.
I like that. Do you have one more?
I know you're shooting for five.
Shooting for five. I got
you're
four.
Shooting
I got
for
Lucy.
Five. I think the last one I'm going to say is when we don't take care and guard our right to say no. Sometimes we say yes for every single thing, and we really need to say.
Yay, you said it.
Does that help? Is that a good
way? Well, it really does. I was hoping you would say that without saying it myself, because because I think that is probably where people waste so much of their energy, is in saying yes when they really want to say no.
Sure.
And out goes the time. And I also think, just me as a mother of four boys, I think I look around and I see a lot of energy wasted with overscheduling people.
Yeah.
Where it could be how you use the time. Like, you know, for example, if little Timmy has a soccer game and a baseball game, then a meeting at school, and then a birthday party all in one day. That's a lot of energy that maybe could have been spent better.
Sure, sure. And, you know, but the other thing to do is to not beat yourself up about it either, because then you're going to waste energy feeling like you did something wrong, which is, you know, starting the whole cycle again. I heard a really interesting saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it, and if it's broke, keep an open mind. And I think sometimes as women, we're always trying to, like, fix it, make it better, and sometimes it's good enough. Just, you know, just enjoy it. Just sit back and enjoy it. We don't have to be perfecting our home. We don't have to have the whitest clothes and the clothes perfectly folded in the closet. Just, you know, maybe lower your standards a little bit, and then you might have more energy to work out.
Yeah, I have a spoon that a dear friend gave me that says, creative women have dirty kitchens.
I love it, love it.
That's really funny.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, Sid, my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter and I were sitting around one day wondering about, you know, life and how she could get out of a certain situation, and we came up with this concept, and she said, when in doubt, dance out. And I wanted to ask you about play and energy.
I love it. Play is an important part. Growing up, my mom used the saying, eat well, play hard, and hug often. So we grew up with that. I mean, play is an important component. Being silly, going on the playground even when you're an adult and going down the slide, swinging, doing whatever brings you joy. For 8 years, my husband invited me to take dance lessons, and finally, after 8 years of saying no, I don't know what possessed me about a year ago, I said yes, and we've been dancing for the last year, and it is wonderful. We have a Sunday afternoon dance lesson together, and that's our play. That's one of our plays. It's great.
That sounds fun.
That's awesome. That does sound fun. We tried that, and it wasn't fun. But it wasn't fun because we weren't able to be playful with it. We were trying too hard to do the steps. So I think that's another important part of what you're saying, which is don't worry so much about getting the steps right as much as do what Elizabeth and I did with our ballet and make complete fools out of yourself, but love it.
And that's why I love Zumba, because the women
speak for
Zumba,
yourself.
You know, I love it. That's, you're right. It is hard. It's one of those things. It's a great life lesson to learn how to play and not be competitive about it and not worry about how you look.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And I remember in a dance class when I was 5, my mother was totally mortified, but I was in a ballet class and I started doing the can-can. I guess that's my personality was emerging at that point, but I think, you know, sometimes we do stop ourselves from enjoying something because we stay in our head and try to do it right.
Yep. You're a wise woman.
I love that.
I guess I was at 5.
But, you were. You are a precocious
little
child.
And that's a great point around exercise and energy, because if you do an exercise you hate and you do it, you concentrate on getting it right, you won't keep doing it.
Oh, gosh, let me just chime in there for 2 seconds, because that's the life of a gymnast right there, for one thing, because, you know, you start out on the floor doing a somersault and then, you know, you get that skill, and then you progress to like a handstand or a back bend, or then a front walkover. Then eventually, you're flipping around with no hands. But imagine if you started out and you arrived at the gymnastics arena and you looked at the person flipping around with no hands, and you quit. You got to learn to do the somersault before you do the flip, and it's a huge process. That's a 5 to 7 year curve, and I felt the same way about Zumba just now, you know, 60-some-odd days ago, or 60-some-odd even days ago now, actually. But, you know, you put that on and the thing is intimidating. It's like, you know, I don't know any of these moves or any of these steps. So I set it to, like, low intensity, you know, the easiest thing you could do. And I surprised myself because it was just like old jazz squares from dancing when I was 12.
Good, good. You know, I think sometimes people feel like they have to do, there's only a limited number of ways to work out. They feel like, okay, you have to run or you have to swim or you have to bike. And they try whatever the 3 things they think are out there to exercise, and they hate it. So they stop exercising. But I really encourage people to find what brings you joy. And if it's turning the radio up and dancing like a lunatic in your kitchen, then that's what you should do. If it's outside jumping rope or jumping rope on your patio or swimming or walking in the water, it's summertime, walking in the water, doing aerobics classes, shaking it up, doing something different. And try it for 10 minutes. If you want to continue after the 10 minutes, that's up to you.
Yeah, and let me bring in my husband here for a minute. He is now, he'll be 54 on Friday, and he's had both of his hips replaced, and he's a former really great baseball player and golfer, and he isn't the athlete he used to be, and it was a real frustrating 2-year process to figure out what he could do again, and I think a lot of people are in that mode where when you hit 40, 50, 60 or whatever, something happens to you body-wise, whatever illness, something replaced, something injured, something aching or whatever, and your body doesn't cooperate with you the way your mind is thinking, well, you know, what the heck? I'm a baseball player, you know, or whatever. And it's that level of thinking sort of sometimes gets in the way of just simply walking down the street.
Sure, sure. Or walking in water. If you do have hip or knee injuries, walk in water. It is just amazing. You can get an upper body workout by moving your arms through the water, and your legs get a great workout from the resistance of the water. It's great.
Oh, yeah. After my surgeries, the only thing that would release my pain was exercising in the hot tub. And
mm-hmm.
that was so wonderful. And it was exercising. I started to see my body shape changing from exercising
mm-hmm.
10 minutes in the hot tub.
Sure. Good for you. You find out where, you know, if you're motivated and if you really stop making excuses, you will find out what works for your particular body.
Yeah. And, you know, I love this. I'm flipping around to random things in your book here as we're talking, because I always do that when we have author guests on. And am I the only one around who just gets absolute energy from throwing stuff out? Man, I love to throw stuff away.
Well, decluttering does give you more energy. It also gives you room for more things to come into your life. It's a metaphor for good things to happen.
Yeah,
so
you're emptying space. You're creating space. Yeah,
sure.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed the declutter tip. And it starts small. If you think you have to redo your whole bedroom and declutter everything in your bedroom, you're not going to start the project. But if you set the timer for 5 minutes and you clean out a drawer, how wonderful.
Yeah. What, you know, I'm looking for things that might not be obvious to people, such as exercising or, you know, eating right. Those seem to be, you know, kind of a little bit more obvious signs of how to get better energy. But you've got a tip in here, energizing idea number 90, forgive for good.
That's one of my favorites. We carry a lot of stuff with us in the way of, you know, anger, the way of not forgiving someone. And really, it really comes down to forgiving for us, not really for forgiving for them. It's a gift we give ourselves. And I love the tips I put in there, I put in with permission. And I think it's one of my favorite tips to really forgive for good. That means it didn't happen. It means you don't think about it. You don't bring it up. It didn't happen. It's a total forgiveness.
That's probably hard to do.
It is, but his steps, Dr. Fred Luskin is an amazing guy out of Stanford, and he knows what he speaks of. His steps really walk you through the 9 steps of really forgiving anything that happened. If you stick with it, it's amazing. Yeah, I really feel we carry a lot. That's the mental component. You can change that mental component and make it as powerful as the food and the workout. It's up to you. That mental component includes forgiveness, accepting yourself, visualizing, dreaming big, scheduling time for yourself is a mental and a physical component, that kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, there's a great, I as a therapist, I used to use this with people a lot. Unforgiveness is like wanting to poison someone else, but you're taking the poison.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really, it eats you. Unforgiveness, not forgiving someone, is like wanting to poison someone else, but you're actually drinking the poison. So it keeps you connected to another human being in a negative way, and it really eats you up. It hurts you more than the other person.
And you know where you carry that stress, you carry that in your belly fat, and that's just exactly where we don't want to carry it. So that stress, that negativity, all those extra pounds are right in your midsection, which is so dangerous.
Mm.
Here's one for you, Katie. Ready?
Yeah.
Wear a fun scarf.
Ah! Oh, God, that's so funny. Sid, you'll love this. Elizabeth, when I first met her, she looked at my wardrobe and she said, "You dress old." And she said, "Ditch the scarves."
You're always trying to cover your neck. I'm like, "You're beautiful. Why are you doing that to yourself?"
But now they've come around. Like now my 23-year-old daughter, I mean, half of her closet is scarves. I just love how it's come around. And now she sends me articles on how to knot my scarf and make it look prettier. It's great.
Well, I think now, Katie, you could put that scarf back on and you'd have a different mindset, whereas before.
Right. Well, I wear them differently now. I'm not covering anything now. I'm adding color.
Now. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Right.
You know, and for some people, wearing a pair of silly socks or wearing a boa around their neck or a favorite pair of earrings might give them energy. It's really important as we change and as we evolve as women and men to figure out what gives us energy. Maybe it's a game of basketball with a friend. Maybe it's a cup of tea. You know, really kind of have your list and keep it close to you so that when you do feel like your energy is low, you can kind of look at your list and say, hey, I want to take a walk, or I want to get a massage, and that'll energize my body, whatever. But keep that list really close to you.
Sid, one of the things I really love about your work is your influences from kids somewhat. And can you say something about that?
I love it. I mean, do you have a couple more hours? Obviously, I love children. I've been an educator for 32 years with little guys, and kids are wise. They run around like crazy people. They don't care what they look like. A lot of my students at school did not care if their clothes matched. I love that about them. Kids really have an open mind. They take to suggestions really well. They smile freely. They're not afraid to hug other people. I don't know. I think kids have it all going on. They have it together.
Yeah, I do too. And I've often written about that. And one of the things that I find myself doing is if I'm trying to see where I am during the day, I kind of look at my daughter and her energy and where she's at, and of course she's got way more energy most of the time, but I try to match her as closely as I can sometimes. That pulls my energy up.
That's great. You know, we all need a bag of tricks, and I think that's a great trick to put in your bag. That's super. Mm. And it's genuine. You know, kids they figure out what works for them, and if they don't like something, they'll let you know. And we should do that. We should actually be honest with ourselves, and if we're not liking something, then we should try to barter to have someone else do it. We should try to figure out a way to make it the most pleasant we can. Why do we, you know, why are we so hard on ourselves? Why do we spend a lot of time doing the things we don't want to do? Some things, you know, can be made easier.
And why don't we ask for help?
He goes, my husband always says, never grow up.
Yeah.
He always says to me, just don't ever grow up. You've got so much energy. That's funny. I love that about kids. You're so right. What did you say? You were a teacher for how many?
I was a teacher for 16 years, and then I opened up my own school. I was a mom with a little girl going to kindergarten. I couldn't find a great kindergarten for her, and I opened up an elementary school, and we grew and grew and grew, and 12 years later, she was getting ready to go to college, and I sold my elementary school. It was a wonderful experience. Yeah, it was my first experience as an entrepreneur. Yeah.
Yeah. How has that experience reinvented you into author and speaker and everything? What did that teach you to do what you're doing now?
It's made me fearless. Not in a daredevil way, but it's really encouraged me to trust my heart and follow my passion. And when I have an idea that doesn't quit, I really, you know, if I keep thinking about it and I keep, the universe keeps showing me different kinds of paths that, you know, would lead me to this, even a couple of steps, I pursue it. I trust my gut. I opened up an elementary school, and then I traveled. I retired. I thought at age 50, I was just going to travel, and, you know, I had enough. I didn't need to work. I was happy. My daughter was off to college. I was traveling, and then I decided to open up a fitness center. I don't know. The idea just came to me. It seemed like it was just like a school. I would open a fitness center for real people. I did that. I grew that. I sold that to one of my teachers. And then I wrote my book. So it's really, my life has always been about education. It's just shown up in different ways. It's about educating people and taking baby steps and helping people do the same thing for them, you know, to take baby steps.
What's been your biggest challenge, Sid?
I think my biggest challenge is I get a lot of ideas. I'm really great at ideas, and I don't know which ones to pursue. So I really I spend a lot of time trusting myself, listening to myself, bouncing my ideas off the key people in my life who I adore, and listening to what comes back, and then deciding what I want to do. And I like to do things. I really like to create new adventures, and sometimes I don't know where to start.
Mm. I love that, but the key word there is you start, though. I have a saying that I always say, leap and then look.
Sometimes
I do that where, you know, sometimes some of my ideas aren't that thought out, but I go with them anyway and see where they go.
And surprisingly, sometimes the second step or the third step appears right after you take that first step.
Yeah. Or you stop, you know, it just totally depends.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm run with ideas and then mm-hmm. Stop them if they stop or continue. You know, I start, stop, continue all the time with stuff. So that's interesting that you do that too. Lots of ideas. What do you do with your ideas? I know you write them down into books of 100. But aside from a book format, how are you writing them or capturing your ideas? What do you do? If you're an idea person listening to Sid right now, here might be some wisdom as to what to do with all the ideas that come to you.
I think sharing them is the best way to use them, because when you teach someone else or you share an idea at a women's networking meeting or, we have our local chamber of commerce meeting, when you share the idea, you're hearing yourself say it, and then you can kind of try it on for size. And sometimes helping someone else with their idea kind of helps your idea. I know this may sound weird, but just kind of playing with it, almost like it's Play-Doh, and just sitting with it, molding it, thinking about it. And you know, I have a lot of ideas, so you're only hearing the good ones. Some of them, I'm just not afraid. Like some of the ideas I try, it doesn't go anywhere. Or my husband talks me out of it, or my daughter says, "You're a lunatic, Mom. Don't try. Don't do that. Don't do that, Mom. Please, don't do that." And, so I have to listen to those. But if my husband said no and my daughter said, "Mom, you're crazy," I still might do something. I have to trust my own inner wisdom. And it gets easier with age, and it also gets easier as you do more and more challenging things. I have a saying that I use with my daughter, "You've done tougher things." So if something does get challenging, I always say, "Well, you climbed to Mount Kilimanjaro, girl. You can do this. This is just small mm-hmm. potatoes."
I like that. I like what you just said with even though the people around you might say no, or that you're crazy, or why would you do that, or whatever, sometimes you still might do it. And that's a really important point right there, because that's best ever you to the core. I mean, everybody said, I quit a huge job to do this 4 years ago, and everybody's like, "What are you doing? No," kind of thing. I mean, everybody freaked out. And sometimes it takes a while for the people around you to catch up with what you're thinking or doing or your idea.
That's Elizabeth.
Well,
that's beautiful.
Sometimes you outgrow the people around you. And
sure.
Your idea is expansive, and they're not there anymore.
Sure.
And so that's a part of owning that idea, is you have to risk the fact that your life is going to change when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say before, Sid?
I don't remember. Probably was a terrible idea.
No,
I'm sorry.
Funny.
But can you speak to that, Sid? When you have a creative idea and you move forward with it, what happens?
I don't know. It empowers you. You just feel kind of like it's almost like you're lifting weights, which I really recommend people do, by the way. After a while, you can increase your weight. And that's what happens with ideas. You start small, and then you sort of snowballs, and you get stronger, and you just try different things. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
absolutely.
Yeah,
that's the
off,
incremental
moved
change
off of
process.
Yeah. We moved off of what I was trying to say, though, and that's that you know, it's really, there are a lot of us as women who are working from home. We have all these ideas. We want to be bloggers. We want to be authors. We want to be on TV. We want to be on the radio. We want to do this. We want to do that. And the people around us, there's a huge support network, whether it's one child and a husband or four children and a husband, whatever it is. There are people around you who have to shift and grow and change with you. As you do. And that is a process from going from I quit and I'm going to do this and everybody looking at me like, what are you doing, to what it is today. It's been a tremendous growth curve on everybody's part.
I think when you have an idea and it resonates with you and you've ruminated about it and you've thought about it and you've talked to key players and key people in the field, you've really researched it, the universe provides different clues for you and different opportunities. My mom used to say, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think when you have an idea, it works that way. Different synchronicities happen. And that's how you know it's a good idea. All the doors are not opening, but they're thinking about opening, or a window opens. And you say, oh, my goodness, let me try that.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about your mom for a second. You've mentioned her a bunch of times now. What was your mom like? What is her name, or what was her name? I don't know if your mom is still with us or not. But can you talk about your mom a little bit?
My mom is Fabulous Florence, and she was ahead of her time. She was the mom on the block that had the balanced meals with the fruits and the vegetables, and we didn't have starchy meals. She's the mom who did jazzercise and worked out with a bicycle, a stationary bicycle, before I knew anybody. She's the mom. We always had kids at our house. She was the mom that had the fruit cut up and ready to go so that we could eat after school. I adore my mom. She's a great grandma, and she's a great mom. And I, you know, if I could be 10% of, you know, have 10% of her energy, I would be the most energetic person on this planet. So it's been a couple of years. I think about her every day, but I miss her, and I know we'll be together again sometime. And she's made such a difference in so many people's lives. Such a cool lady.
Isn't that neat, Katie?
Neat.
Yeah,
it is. I was actually with a group of 80 and 90-year-old women the other day, and one of the things they said, it's there wasn't a day that went by that they didn't think of their moms.
I agree with that one.
I think that's really powerful. Yeah, I think that's really wonderful.
Out of everything that your mom taught you energy-wise, what's her biggest influence in this book? Is there a chapter go ahead.
I think to follow your joy. I mean, my mom always, you know, even when I opened my elementary school, I'd call my mom long distance and say, Mom, it's so hard. You know, a teacher didn't show up on time, so I covered her class, or the cafeteria worker wasn't there, so I served food for the kids at the beginning. You know, we were shorthanded. And my mom said, but you're following what you love. You really enjoy the kids. Think back about the part that you love about it. And that's the thing I think she taught me the most, to be grateful, to look at the things in your life that you're happy with, and concentrate on that.
Wow. You know, Sid, there's a wonderful quote by Albert Einstein. I don't know if you know this quote, but everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you can't help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy, it's physics. He saw that way back when, and that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying that, you know, you make up your mind, you have a grateful heart, you put your energy in alignment with that thought, and boom, look what happens.
And don't be surprised if it happens even better than you thought. You may have created something even bigger, even better, even more wonderful than you imagined.
Do you, what about brainstorming? Can you talk a little bit about brainstorming?
Brainstorming is a great solution for generating ideas and for figuring out how to manage all the ideas you generate. For example, if you're thinking about starting a radio show, putting all the ideas down helps you decide if you're going to do it and how you're going to do it and where you need help, because every idea, you know, you might need some help, some side guidance. So brainstorming is fun to do by yourself. It's fun to do with a group of people that you trust and love. And you still have to follow your passion, but brainstorming is a way to have a concrete analysis on paper that's going to help you take that first step or the second step forward.
You know, there's a bunch of people just joining us, and I just wanted to introduce Syd Hoffman to you. SydHoffman.com, SydHoffman. And we've been talking to Syd for, I don't know, like probably about 40 or 50 minutes now about her book, All Day Energy, 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now. And you can get this book wherever books are sold, and especially you can go right to her website and learn more. And I encourage you to replay our show and share it with others, because there's some great wisdom in this show today about how to have a huge impact on erasing being tired, creating energy, and then one thing that maybe we haven't talked about yet would be clarity, increasing clarity. Do you want to talk about that a little bit before we go?
Sure. You know, clarity means different things to different people. To me, it means that you really can focus on the things that you want to focus on, and you do it with such a smile, such a joy, such a pleasure. And you're clear about where you want to go with wherever you're, you know, whatever part, aspects of your life that you're trying to gain clarity with. Brainstorming helps with that. We just identify that. Being a good problem solver and taking some time for quiet, I think, is real important to gain clarity.
Katie?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. That's such an important point. I mean, one of the things we wrote about in Percolate is each one of us start the morning in a quiet way to kind of regroup and figure out how today is going to be better than yesterday. And I think that a lot of times people don't take the quiet and the rest and the and allow that, I call it the still small voice, to speak.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Most people don't. Most people just start their day. They get out of bed. They're not too happy with that whole process of getting out of bed and having to go somewhere and do something. But they really don't take the time to think about what they want to create that day. And I think that's the most powerful time in the morning when you first wake up, to be thinking, what am I going to create today? What am I going to eat today? How am I going to move today? Or if you planned it the night before, that's, you know, that's a step in the right direction as well. As a society, we don't make any quiet time.
We don't. And also, I think you gave a really good point there, Syd. If you're waking up in the morning and you're pulling yourself out of bed and you don't want to do that, that's a clue right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Bingo. Yeah, definitely. You know, that's probably the single most, that grouping of advice right there about pausing, finding clarity, taking a break, unplugging, you know, just having that. As women, we call that selfish time a lot of times, and we feel guilty about doing that, especially mothers. And I see that a lot with mothers of multiple children, too. You know, it's just you feel guilty when you need a break from everybody. But it's actually, I call that recharging your batteries.
You have to. That's your gift to everyone else when you recharge your batteries. So we really need to kind of rethink that. We do ourselves a disservice when we don't take care of ourselves. How can we take care of the world if we don't take care of ourselves first?
Definitely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Yep. So, and we need to listen to ourselves. Yep.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, and you don't, when you listen, you don't have to make the changes right away. You can listen and sit with something for a while, and you know, there, it's not so easy sometimes to give up your day job, and you know, maybe you cut back to 3/4 of your work week. Maybe you cut back to a half when your business is finally taking off a little bit. You know, you have one foot in one area, but you have another foot in the other area, and you take it slow, you think it through, and you make some sane choices, you take care of your body, and you can move on to something that you do enjoy and not be doing that same thing for the next, you know, 35 years that you don't enjoy.
you know, it's very interesting. The kids are all out of school now, and not one kid got up this morning before 10:30. given their own schedule without an alarm or anything, nobody got up this morning before 10:30. And in fact, some of the kids, you know, and I've got lazy teenagers, so you know, I have four boys and they're, you know, 11, 13, 15, and 17. So some of that is growing and stuff. But one of them got, you know, just rolled out of bed at noon. And just observing kids, they're just so much different than adults. Adults are like, okay, it's 6:30, got to go. Where do I got to go? Got to eat breakfast. Got to get in the car. Got to drive. Got to, you know, and kids are just chill, whatever, you know.
Yeah. And we look at it as a list of things we've got to do.
Our
to-do list.
Right.
And maybe we should start the list and put to enjoy.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Take. You
know, I love what Wayne Dyer says. When he gets up in the morning, the first thing he does is put his feet on the ground and say gratitude. Say what he's grateful for.
Mm. Mm. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
I love that. I think that's something we can all do.
Yeah. That's part of my thing, from having been resuscitated. That's something I've done for a really, really long time. Just wake up and I'm breathing, and from there I go. Because when you're resuscitated, that just changes the whole scope of your life for sure. And it brings a whole new meaning, and I definitely do that every day. And I've just learned to just slow down. To me, less is way more.
And that's one thing that I think that wisdom comes with age. I don't know how to explain it. It's very hard to be 30 years old and understand that. But if you can be 30 and get that it's important to slow down and it's important to not do 45 things at once and just enjoy the process of getting the dishes done without doing four other multitasking things at the same time. It's really, it's a very grown-up thing, and a lot of people don't learn that, and then they pay the price because life is too stressful for them.
It's interesting, though, because when less is more becomes your motto, it actually frees up time to really do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's such focused energy that it appears to everybody that you have high energy. That's interesting. But in reality, you're just really going gangbusters at something that you really love to do. I don't know. It comes across in your book beautifully. We only have 2 minutes left. And I wondered if there was anything that we just haven't asked you that, that you wanted to talk about.
I guess one thing, I can't leave the air without encouraging people to eat breakfast. Two out of every three families don't eat breakfast, and they consider coffee breakfast, and that's not a breakfast. So I really love your suggestion about eating a smoothie or a bowl of cereal, some fresh fruit, and maybe a little protein with it, handful of nuts, even a granola bar on the way out of the door, but something in the morning.
Something in the morning. That's a really good idea. That's important, isn't it, because your brain needs that sugar to get going
more than anything. It does.
You've been
fasting all evening. You need a little bit of water in your body, and you need a little bit of fuel in the way of food. So that would be my number one thing. If people are starting small and they don't know where to start, start with a little bit of movement. Start with a healthy breakfast every morning.
That's good energy advice. Very good energy advice. All right, we've got 90 seconds left. Katie, I'm tired today. I'm sorry.
But your
circumstances are changed. Yeah.
Exactly. Your circumstances are life hits sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most important things Sid said is be gentle with yourself when life hits, and it's all okay. Just keep trying to do better. That's all.
Yeah. Love it. All right. All Day Energy with Sid Hoffman, 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now, a beautiful book. It's Sid, how long do you think this book is? Is it about 150 pages or so, maybe a little bit less?
Yeah, it's about 150 pages.
Yeah, it's a pretty handy read, and it's one of those books you open and reopen and look at and stuff. So I just want to thank you for being with us today, and thank you, everyone, for listening. And you can visit Sid at sidhoffman.com, and you can buy her book, All Day Energy, 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now, wherever books are sold. And thank you, thank you, thank you, Sid. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you,
Sid. Thanks, Katie.
Take
You're
care.
Welcome. Thank
care
you so well. Much. Wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you.
On Thursday, we have Michelle Phillips from Hay House joining us. She is the author of Beauty Blueprints. So, all right. Thank you, everybody. Take care and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.